Let's get into God's Word for this morning. I've been very intentional about what I've shared with you since the beginning of the year. We started off talking about the blessing and favor of God and how to get God's favor upon our lives. And so I shared with you, we've got to expect it. We've got to believe that God wants to favor His children. Then you've got to speak it. Don't speak death. Speak life over yourself and your family and your business. And then the third step was to live a godly life. We can't live any way we want to. We can't mess with sin and then think God is just going to bless us. And so those were the first three steps, and that was the first series that I did in the beginning of the year. And then, as you know, we went over to the next series, which was really just speaking around God's Word and the power that the Word has. Because, you see, when you and I start reading God's Word, what happens? We start not just following His Word, but following His ways. And God's ways always work in our lives. And so I've done that very intentionally, because it's almost like I want to try and set you up for blessing and for success this coming year. And so what I want to do quickly this morning is going to be a little bit different. I'm warning you up front, all right? And so I want to share with you one of the secrets of the Jewish people, all right? We're going to do that. And so you'll find, you know, when you're going to have a look at the Jewish people, you'll find for generations they've stood out in terms of their ability to create wealth. Do you know that 50% of the billionaires in the United States are Jewish people? Even though the American population is only made up of 1.4% of Jews, 1.4%, yet 50% of their billionaires are Jewish people. 6 out of the 20 capital funds, the leading capital funds in the United States, 6 out of the 20 belong to Jews. It is said that the Jewish people are the richest people per capita on the face of the earth. Do you know what's interesting with regards to the Nobel Peace Prize statistics? 25% of the winners, of the recipients of the Nobel Peace Prize, are Jews. And yet, when you go and have a look at it, Jews only make up 0.2% of the world population. 0.2! And yet they've received 25%. Why is that? You see, the Jewish people have always had this peculiar relationship with money, and throughout the ages, the world couldn't help but admire the Jewish people for their business prowess. And so is all of this just a coincidence? I don't think so. Because you see, there's a secret that they know, and they've been applying for generations. And I want to share that with you this morning. For some of you, you already know it, but you need to be reminded. And for some of you, this may be completely new to you this morning. And so I want to do that, but what I'm going to do is, firstly, before I get into the Word and show you, I want to show you the testimony of a Jewish man in New York, and quickly play his testimony, and then I'll wrap it up for us, all right? So let's watch his video.
There is a secret to wealth that the Jewish people have known for thousands of years. It was hidden inside of the Bible and was not ready to come out until this very last generation. You see, we're all ruled by one power, by one force, by one creator, and we all are subject to his laws. And when we know how to apply that to our lives, we're able to unleash wealth that we never thought possible. The Jewish secret to wealth is charity, in Hebrew called tzedakah.
The big key is the tzedakah. Giving the money actually gives us back more.
Because I prioritize giving, God prioritizes me.
The key secret is my charity that I give.
Tzedakah plays an intricate role in my everyday life and decisions that I make within my life.
Generous people are more successful people.
Zohar says, open up for me a vessel like the eye of a needle, and I'll fit an elephant through it.
Now this goes against all logic. According to simple math, if a person has 10 of something and they take one and give it away, they're left with 9.
Imagine a pie that you have in front of you. Okay, someone gives you a beautiful apple pie that you love. That's the amount of money that you've earned during the year that you worked hard for, that you've sweated with. You've got receivables and payables and staff and finding clients. We're sweating for our money, and that money is that pie. The idea of giving away one or two slices away, Hashem has ways to give you back those two slices and more.
What we're talking about here does not go according to nature. We're talking about a secret code that the creator of the universe himself embedded into the fabric of the universe. We're not talking about karma, that if you do good, you're gonna get good. No. When I came home from yeshiva and went back to work, the rabbi from my synagogue came and he asked for a pledge for the following year. He asked me for $18,000, which is roughly $1,500 a month. And it's what I owed at that time for charity. So I gladly said yes. By the end of the year, I fulfilled the pledge, but again, didn't think too much about it. That next year, I left my family business and I went to go start my own company from absolutely scratch. Right before Rosh Hashanah, the rabbi came to my new office to pledge me as he does every year. And when he walked into the room, his face turned white. He was used to seeing me in a big fancy office with a big mahogany desk with a big corner view. And that year he walked in and I was alone in a dingy office sitting on a $10 Walmart chair and those white folding tables. That year, I was expecting the rabbi to go easy on me. He sits down at the table and he says to me,
"This year, I'm not going to ask you for 18,000, but this year, we'll ask you double, 36,000.
I went into a trance. The rabbi froze in front of me. It was just me, myself, and God. And at first, I was angry. I was saying to myself, how could he do this to me? He knows that I'm starting fresh. He knows how hard it is. How could he ask such a big ask? But then I thought to myself, if this is all true, then God is not going to hurt me for giving charity. I came out of the trance. One single tear ran down my cheek. And I said one word. Okay. I said, it's up to God, it's not my problem. I'm gonna do my best and I'm gonna commit, but at the end of the day, it's up to him to make sure it happens. That year in business, I absolutely exploded. It was an incredible year from zero to hero overnight. The type of growth that I had was not normal. And by the end of that year, I was able to fulfill every single dollar of that $36,000 pledge. So I started to go on a search to find where exactly the source for this concept of giving charity makes a person wealthy. So I came across the standard line in Torah that everybody knows, which in Hebrew is called Asher Tis Asher.
Asher Tis Asher.
Which means that when a person gives charity, he becomes wealthy.
Tithe to become wealthy.
So I continued to learn and study more, and I came across the magic phrase I'm about to tell you that changed my life forever and is about to change your life forever. And the secret hidden line is found in a book called Malachi, and it goes like this. Ubachanuni na bazos.
Ubachanuni na bazos.
The next year when the rabbi came and asked for $50,000, I gladly obliged, of course. And the year after that, they asked for $100,000. Now that was really pushing myself. I said yes. What was I gonna do? Say no? Would you believe that it worked again? It was all starting to make sense. I tested God, and he opened up new channels, new ways for me to make a living. And I had made more in that year when I gave $100,000 than I had ever made in my life. As I started documenting and talking more about my experience with charity, all of a sudden, from all around the world, people would reach out to me, telling me about their stories, their miracles that they themselves saw.
So the first time that we gave charity in a way that I would describe as making us slightly uncomfortable was Ida and I went to a class at Chabad of Ohio State University. They were hosting Rabbi Yossi Jacobson, YY. We were super inspired. He spoke about a number of things, one of the things being giving and the importance of giving. We walked up to Rabbi Jacobson. We said, Rabbi, your message is fantastic, it's powerful, and it needs to be heard by the world. Why don't you start a website, an online yeshiva, and we will underwrite it. And I had no idea what the financial commitment would look like. The dollar amount was, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to start it, build it, fund it. I was extremely uncomfortable. Ida was uncomfortable, but we felt like this is really important. Hundreds of thousands of people could potentially be learning and growing as a result of this, and we did it. Every year we would give more, and we were testing Hashem. Every year we would see clearly those results.
It was COVID, everyone was cash tied. I was especially cash tied. I was coming out of a sabbatical in Israel where I had very little income. And I decided to put in a donation in that was well above my means at the time. And less than a year later, I closed probably the biggest cash deal of my life and blew my mind. The fact that God had reimbursed me not only with the fund amount, but also that he rewarded me, so to speak, with 10x was phenomenal to me.
I had a friend came up to me, told me, Alberto, are you giving, how much are you giving? Do something. Calculate 20%. And I'm like, you're crazy, how can I give 20%? Just do it. You know, if you wanna continue to be a guy who's, you know, paying your bills and doing okay, okay. But if you wanna go strong, it's a 20%. You know, after that day, I liked what he said. And I separated 20%. I cannot explain how that opened up the possibilities of businesses.
I did find myself at a point where I had gotten divorced and now I was running a home as a single parent. It became a struggle to give as freely as I did in the past. Even if it was kind of a challenge, I always benefited on the flip side. So I would get a tax refund that year, or I would have the opportunity to work at another job. So I always found that even in giving, God will ultimately reward you.
It was our first Shabbat, or maybe second Shabbat in the community, and we're at Kiddush, and I meet this guy, and I'm talking to him, and we're having some drinks, and Rabbi Korn comes over, and, you know, he's pouring whiskey for everyone, and he says, Yaakov, make sure that this guy gives good donations this year. And I laugh it off. What am I going to do? So I decide to joke. Whatever you give, I'll match. I had no clue how much he had given. So it turns out that he had committed $18,000 for the year. That was, you know, five times more than any donation I had ever given. What am I gonna say? You know, I just hoped and prayed that I'll be able to give it, and I meant it. Somehow, with God's incredible blessing, I was able to give that much and more. The year after, I gave at least five times that amount. The thing I realized at that time that still sticks with me is we're just a vessel for creating wealth and serving as a channel for God to get it into the hands of those who need it.
People often ask me, what's your secret to success? So yes, I do a ton of networking. I work really, really hard. But the key ingredient is my charity that I give. I really feel that that has enabled me to scale, and things that don't even make sense have been working out. Like, it's beyond comprehension.
I've been in many businesses, everything from shoes, textiles. Our last business has been the most successful one. We made sure that everything that came in, we were gonna give 10% tzedakah. And I believe that it's been successful because of us taking so seriously giving charity.
My story with charity begins a few months ago. I was at the gravesite of the Rabbi Rivnitz in Muncie, New York. I had a big project that I was working months and months to get it, and I didn't see a path to getting a signature on my contract. And I told for the Rabbi that if I'm going to get it, I will donate my charity from this project for his schools. 5-6 days later, and this is already after months of back and forth, I got in my inbox a signed contract. It was signed on my terms, and everything started rolling from there. This was like a very special moment for me. Just 5-6 days after promising charity, all of a sudden, boom, the contract was signed.
Our minds are so small, and it's only us that limit the capacity of Hashem. And once we do that, Hashem says, okay, Adkan, I'm gonna stop here. But in your mind, if you say, no, that's good. Hashem is bigger, he's greater, it's endless. Then Hashem says, okay, you'll see.
there's a man in my synagogue that every year gives $10,000. And I asked him if he could stand up in front of the congregation and speak to everybody and talk about the blessings that he sees from his charity. But he told me, Beryl, I can't, because I don't see any blessings from my charity. And this really bothered me because I'm the guy that pledges him every year. So how could it be that he doesn't see it? And I went home and I thought about it and I did the math. And the reason why he's not seeing the blessings from his charity is because he's not giving enough. He only gives $10,000, which means that God only has to give him $40,000 that is left for him to keep. So if he gave $20,000, then God would give him $100,000. If he gave $40,000, then God would give him $200,000. You see, the problem with charity and the way we've been looking at it forever is this. Most people look at charity going backwards. They say to themselves, if I made $100,000 this year, then I owe $10,000 to charity. The problem is, if a person makes $100,000 after tuition, after rent, after food, after insurance, and after a vacation, he has no money left. He might even be in debt. He doesn't even have $10,000 left over to give to charity. So he's not even doing that bare minimum. Here came the Lubavitcher Rebbe and changed everything and flipped it completely on its head. Instead of looking backwards at what you made to determine what you owed to charity, he challenged us to look forward and make a pledge and decide how much money we want to make for the upcoming year. And based on how much our pledge is, that's how much we're going to make. After learning all this, last year when I went to go make my pledge for charity, I wanted to really test God with charity. At the end of the day, a lot of people think that it says you can test God, but really if you read it properly, it says, test me with charity, as if it's a commandment, it's a mitzvah to test God with charity. So this year, instead of going up by 18,000 or 36,000, I decided to really test God and see if this thing is true once and for all. I pledge $250,000. And what do you think happened? True to his word, a new business was formed, my executive coaching firm, that not only paid off the $250,000 pledge, but left me, thank you God, with plenty left over, that I was able to do it with joy and with happiness.
Just goes to show, when you test God in charity, you're gonna see incredible miracles in your life.
Right. Now the good news today is that same blessing that the Jewish people have been enjoying for generations is available to you and me. Why? Because the Bible says we are children of Abraham. Let me show you quickly. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, those who believe, that you and me, are children of Abraham. And if we are children of Abraham, it means that we share in the blessings of Abraham. And so because of what Jesus has done on the cross, he simply opened up the way for you and me, for all of God's children, to enjoy that same blessing that Abraham did and that the Jewish people have for generations. Listen to what it says here in verse 9. So those who have faith, that's us, are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so the moment you and I start tithing, start doing what they're doing, we start seeing that same blessing coming upon our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. I want you to remember that. First fruits, we're going to get back to that in a moment. With the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be full to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And so what God is saying is, if you honor me with your finances, you'll have overflow. That's basically what it's saying. You'll have overflow in your life. Now, to go back to that Jewish man, what changed his financial situation? His charity or his tithing. It's the same thing. Because what was he giving to? His local synagogue, his church. He was giving to his rabbi. And so that's what changed it. What is the scripture that he referred to? Malachi 3. We know it as Malachi, all right? And so listen to what it says. It says, bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple. That's God's church, God's house. So that there will be plenty of food there. And here's that command. Put me to the test, and you will see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out on you in abundance. There's the word abundance again. All kinds of good things. And so what God is saying to us, we see it again and again in Scripture. If you'll honor me with your finance, you will experience abundance. Let me give you one more scripture here. Ezekiel chapter 44. It says, the first of your ripe fruits. There we have that same word again, the first. Always the first. I'll get back to that. Of the ripe fruit and all the gifts brought to the Lord will go to the priests. What is it saying? When you bring to God, you're taking it to the priest, to God's house, to the church. That's what it's saying. The first batch of dough must also be given to the priest so that the Lord will bless your homes. You see what it's saying? If you will bless, if you will look after God's home, He will look after your home. That's what it's saying here. And so God is saying to us, I will bless you. I want to bless my children. But the blessing is connected to the giving. If you and I don't give, when you and I live with a closed hand, God can't bless. He can't put into that hand. The blessing is always connected to our giving. Now, why did the rabbi ask them to make a pledge? Well, you can give, as he said, you can give forwards or you can give backwards. Giving backwards basically means we look back at what we've already earned. And so let's say I earned 10,000 rand this past month. That was my salary or my income, whatever. Then I say, all right, 10% of that, because a tithe means a tenth. 10% of that, the Bible says, belongs to the Lord. It's not even mine, by the way. It belongs to Him. So when I keep that, I'm actually stealing from God. And I can show you that from Scripture as well. And so that belongs to Him, and so I give that back to the Lord. Now, that's giving backwards, as it were. Giving forwards, and this is what the rabbi was teaching them, is to say, all right, I would typically give 1,000 rand to the church, but I'm going to give 1,200 rand, or I'm going to give 1,500, and I'm going to trust God for the income. I'm going to test Him in this, that I'm going to be able to do that. And so I think of my own life, that's how I grew up. My father always did that. My father didn't look at, you know, what did I earn? And okay, I need to give exactly that. He always gave more, and he taught us to do that. As that when we tithe, we give more than our tithe. I've seen some people trying to give God as little as possible. Well, do I give before tax? Or do I give after tax? Do I give gross? Or do I give net? Well, you decide how you want to be blessed, gross or net. All right? And so, you know, for some people, they want to give God as little as possible. That's up to you. You're going to receive as little as possible. You know, that's just how it works. And so this is what the rabbi was trying to teach them. Don't try and give God as little as possible. The principle I want to share with you today, it's not necessarily about making a pledge, or that's not what I'm asking you to do. The principle is to put God first. That's what it's about here. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read the story of the widow of Zarephath. Just to give you a little bit of background, they were going through a severe famine, severe drought. You know, they didn't have food and so on. And so the prophet Elijah arrives in Zarephath, this little town, and the first person he meets is this widow. And so he's just been traveling by foot, didn't have Ubers back then, and so he's traveling by foot, and he gets there, and he's so tired, and it's dusty, and it's hot, and all he does is he just asks for some water. Can you give me some water? She says, no problem. And as she turns to go, he says, and just a little bit of bread as well. Now, listen to what he says to her here. Or she says, I swear to the Lord your God, because she realizes he's a prophet. I swear to the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread at home. I have only a handful of flour. Just think about that for a moment. Just a handful. Handful of flour left in a jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of a jug. And I was just gathering a few sticks to cook the last meal, and then my son and I would die. And so she's in a desperate, desperate situation. Now listen to what he says to her. He starts off saying this, and I think it's pretty significant. He says, do not be afraid. Why does he do that? Because he's about to ask her something. He's about to tell her to put God first. And whenever God requires something or asks us something, guess what happens? Fear comes in as well. And the enemy says to you and me, yeah, but what if? What if you can't do this? What if you can't afford it? And what if? And so there's fear. And so he just says to up front, he says, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said. You've said you're going to bake bread. But make a little bread for me first. There's that word again. First. All right? Then use what's left for you and your son. So don't take first all for me. And if there's something left, I'll give it to the Lord. He says, no, let's do it the other way around, because then you need faith. Now watch this. He's going to give her a promise. He says, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always, what an incredible promise, always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said. She was obedient. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. Now watch this. There was always enough flour and oil in the containers, just as the Lord had promised. God kept his promise, but there was a condition to the promise. What was the condition? First. God says, if you put me first, he says, I'll take care of that. Do you know we have that same promise today? As a matter of fact, Jesus gives us a promise in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. If you're going to have a look at it in context, these other things that he's referring to are material things, what you'll eat and wear and drink, and it's material things. Go and check it out. And so the mistake you and I make, we seek first what we will eat and drink and wear, all these other things, and our attention is on that, and we focus on that. And if we've got a little bit of time on Sunday, we may go to church. If it doesn't work out this week, well, sorry. And if we've got a little bit of money, then maybe we'll give it, but we do this first. What Jesus is saying, you're doing it the wrong way around. He says, I want you to focus on God first. So you know what he's saying to us? He says, this is your responsibility. And if you make this your responsibility, then that stuff becomes God's responsibility. Isn't that amazing? Where you and I don't have to worry about business. You don't have to be stressed out about stuff like that. As long as we put God first, he has promised to take care of that. All these other things will be added to us. And so you could say, when we take care of God's house, he says, I will take care of your house. And so my own story, let me share with you. I started tithing when I was at school, in high school. Because you see, I wanted a motorbike. My parents couldn't afford it. And so my dad said, well, you know, you're welcome, but you're going to have to buy it yourself. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted his permission. And so I stopped doing sports, stopped playing rugby, everything. I just started working, got a little part-time job, but I started tithing as well. So I was saving flat out, and I started tithing every single month because that's how we'd grown up. That's how I'd been taught. By the end of matric, this was in standard 8, by the way. By the end of matric, I'd bought and sold 3 bikes, bought and sold 2 cars because of God's blessing upon my young little life. And so I kept on doing that. I kept on tithing right throughout my life. Liesl and I have been doing this, and I've seen God's hand upon business, upon every area. Because you see, when God blesses you, God doesn't only bless you financially, but God blesses every area of your life. And so I've experienced it. So nobody can come to me and say, I'm not sure if that works. Well, knock yourself out. Because I've experienced this, all right? And so at this stage, I would typically say to you, I want to encourage you to do the same. But I'm not going to say that, because I didn't say that. I was going to say that, all right? This is what I want to say to you. I've shared God's word with you this morning. And I've just used a slightly different way just to share the truth with you that the Jewish people have been enjoying for generations. God is not limited by the stuff that limits us. We limit ourselves because of our fear. If we'll put that aside and say, Lord, I put my trust in your word, in your character, and who you are, we'll see breakthroughs and changes in our finances like we've never seen before. And so I've shared that with you this morning. Now it's up to you. You decide whether you take it or not. The ball's in your court. And so are you going to honor God or aren't you? Because let me tell you, there's no in between. You either take this and you honor him and your finances, or you don't. You either put him first in your finances, or you don't. And so it's completely up to you. I've left it with you. All right? Come on, let's stand. I want to pray for us. This year is full of secrets and instructions, and when we apply it, whether it's relational, marital, even health-wise, financially, we apply these simple instructions, but sometimes we think we know better. You know, yeah, but Lord, when we apply this, marriage works, finances work, life works. Father, thank you for your precious word. And I pray for us as a congregation that we will honor your word this year more than ever before. Not just in terms of finance, but as you speak to us, as you reveal truths from the word, that we will follow and honor and obey it more than ever before. That's our prayer, because we know then life works. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great week.